The Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has said that they will invade the southern Gaza city of Rafah, regardless of whether a ceasefire is agreed with Hamas. Ongoing attempts are being made to agree a ceasefire and the release of Israeli hostages. The talks are being brokered by Egypt. But at a meeting of the families of the hostages, Mr. Netanyahu said that he would invade with or without a deal. Over half of Gaza's population, around 1.4 million, were forcibly displaced to Rafah from other parts of the territory because of Israeli bombardments, and they are still taking shelter there. We can talk now to Alistair Bunkel, Middle East correspondent with Sky News. Alistair, thanks for taking our call. Mr. Netanyahu, what exactly did he say on this?
Well, Netanyahu is in a difficult position at the moment. He is being pulled in a number of directions. He obviously has huge pressure on him from the relatives and the family members of those still being kept hostage in Gaza, 133 people, not just Israelis, incidentally. And then within his own coalition cabinet, he has the far right saying, if you don't press on and invade Rafah, then we will leave the government and collapse the government. And then he has the more moderates, like Benny Gantz, saying that if there's no good reason not to go ahead with a hostage deal, and if you don't do it for political reasons, we will leave the government. And so Netanyahu is trying to sit in the middle of it. But I do think that his threats to invade Rafah, whatever, can do no good for attempted hostage negotiations, because it would only, one assumes, lead Hamas to think, well, what's the point? What's the point of entering a ceasefire if you're going to come and invade us anyway?
Well, I was going to ask you that. Why would Hamas agree to any ceasefire if that's the case? What is the status of these talks in Egypt?
It's hard to know because things have gone pretty quiet over the last 48 hours. But from what we can gather, Hamas have the Israeli proposal and they are studying it. They certainly have not rejected it outright. And so we have to see that as a good thing.
Do we know what's in the Israeli proposal, Alistair?
Well, we know bits of it. The Israelis are reportedly asking for fewer hostages to be released in the first phase. So they've downgraded the number that they were initially demanding would be released in the first phase. And they are, we understand, making a number of compromise concessions around the status or, you know, how many troops they would leave in Gaza during any truce, and the freedom of movement that Gazans would have to travel around Gaza, to travel from the south to the north, for example. So there are leaks coming out, but these things are always far more complex and detailed than the sort of the headlines, if you like.
And is any response, it had been anticipated from Hamas today, perhaps, is that likely?
I think it's possible, but it's anybody's guess when they will give that response, partly because it will need a response from Yahya Sinwar, who is Hamas's leader inside Gaza. Hamas is quite a disparate organization. They have senior leaders in exile in Qatar and Turkey. They are more visible, they're more vocal, but ultimately it is Sinwar in Gaza who needs to approve or reject a deal, because it is Hamas in Gaza, not Hamas in Qatar. It's Hamas in Gaza who will need to facilitate the release of hostages. And so we wait to see what Sinwar's got to say about it. And it's not easy to get hold of him for the basic reasons that after 7 months of war, he is on the run, he's somewhere underground, and simply reaching him isn't straightforward.
So back to Rafah, what is there? Why does Israel want to invade it?
Israel sees Rafah as the last urban area in Gaza that they haven't already invaded and carried out military operations. They think it is where Hamas leaders like Sinwar have fled to, as the Israeli forces have sort of systematically moved through Gaza from the north into the center and towards the south. They think Hamas's senior leadership have also fled in that direction. They think that many of the hostages are being held there, perhaps as human shields to protect Sinwar and others. They say that there are three outstanding Hamas battalions still operating in Rafah. And then, of course, you've got the tunnel network that goes from southern Gaza into the Sinai, into Egypt, which has been used in the past a lot to smuggle weapons and other goods into Gaza. And the Israelis want to destroy those tunnels.
And are there Israeli hostages in Rafah?
We don't know. That is a guess, and that is a guess based on the fact that having spent 7 months working through the rest of Gaza and finding very few, there is purely a sort of a guess that many of them have been moved down into Rafah as the fighting has progressed. But quite honestly, whether or not they have actual intelligence to that, we don't know.
So it's a tricky balancing act for Netanyahu. If there is a deal to get the hostages back and scale the war, and getting the hostages back, they said, was their priority, and scaling back the war, could his government collapse?
Yes, I think his government is fragile. I think there's a number of scenarios that could see the government collapse, but there also could be a scenario where Netanyahu feels that he should act first, take matters into his own hands, and do something that collapses it anyway in order to hold elections on a strong footing. What I would say is the far right in his government, particularly the National Security Minister, Itamar Ben-Gvir, have a habit of threatening to leave the government, and their bark is worse than their bite. He's never actually left. But I think, you know, barely a month goes by without him saying he's going to collapse the government. Netanyahu doesn't do this or that. Netanyahu is a you know, very clever, wily, experienced politician. He's Israel's longest serving leader, and that's not by mistake. But this is a challenge that I don't think he will have faced ever during his career. Not just right now, but he will be acutely aware of his legacy.
And we are now into the eighth month of this war in Gaza. And despite the most ferocious bombardment by Israel, which is armed and funded by the United States, Hamas is still not destroyed. What do you read into that, Alistair?
I think it was always a mistake for the Israelis to claim that they would get total victory over Hamas and eliminate Hamas. I mean, we've seen efforts to that end by the Americans, by the British and others to entirely eliminate the likes of Al-Qaeda, Islamic State, and it's failed. You can certainly degrade an organization like Hamas significantly, and they have done that. For example, the frequency of rockets coming out of Gaza is minimal these days. But pockets of Hamas still exist. Pockets are popping up again. As Israeli troops vacate a lot of the north of Gaza, you see Hamas coming back because after many, many years of political and military rule in Gaza, they just don't go away. And a lot of the population are allied with Hamas. Now, I do think there are Gazans who are starting or have very much got angry with Hamas for leading them into this situation. But Hamas have not gone away, and Hamas will not go away easily or anytime soon. I mean, there would have to be a major and sustained political process lasting many, many years for that security situation to change.
Thank you very much indeed, Alistair Bunkle, Middle East correspondent with Sky News.